have a Bible, would you turn with me, please, to Matthew chapter 1 and reading from verse 18? It should appear on the screen behind me. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet: "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Joseph's choice. Today we want to look at the choice that Joseph made and the central importance of Joseph to the whole of our faith. If Joseph had made the wrong choice, there would be no Christmas story. If Joseph had made the wrong choice, there may not have been a Messiah. Because it was only Joseph who could adopt Jesus. If Joseph had not adopted Jesus as his son, Jesus would not have been descended from King David. You see, the family of Joseph is absolutely critical to the Christmas story. But Joseph was not Jesus's biological father. He had to adopt Jesus into his family. And everything was against him making that choice, because when he got the news that Mary was pregnant, she had been either unfaithful to him or she had been raped. And everything inside him was saying, "I can't go ahead with this. I can't marry this girl." What was it about Joseph that enabled him to make the right choice? What was it about his character? And what is it about our character that enables us to make the right choice, even if other people will think we've made the wrong choice? What would it be to be a righteous person who is more concerned about what God thinks rather than what everyone else thinks? What does it mean to be a courageous person who follows through the implications of the right decision when there are far more convenient and self-driven choices before us? You see, Joseph is often forgotten at Christmas. But have you ever thought, if Joseph had not named Jesus, we would not have the birth of Jesus descended from David? God is obviously at work in Joseph's life, helping him to make the right choice, and God is at work in our lives, helping us to make the right choice. We surprise ourselves sometimes, don't we, that we're able to make the right choices against the odds, because God, who began a good work in us, is able to take us over the finishing line. I want to focus on this word. Joseph was a righteous man. What does that mean? Well, it means that he wanted to uphold the law of God. It means that he was concerned to obey everything that God had asked him to do. He was a devout man. And in the Old Testament, in Deuteronomy, as much as it will be as hard for us to hear this morning, if a virgin who is betrothed to a man becomes pregnant, the penalty is to be stoned to death outside your father's house. The shame. Now, by the time of the first century, the Romans had said to the Jews, you can't take someone's life. So what would happen in that circumstance is there would be a divorce, but there would be a public trial where Mary would have been shamed in front of the whole community, and Joseph would have brought a public accusation against her to say that you have shamed me, you have been unfaithful to me. And not only would Mary's life be ruined, but the whole family would be ruined. And just coming back from the Middle East, I know of something of the shame in that, and the honor in that culture. If a Christian, if a Muslim decides to become a Christian, it is not uncommon for the family to seek to kill the daughter in the Middle East today. Some countries will say that's illegal, but there were stories I heard of accidents that happened where the daughter was run over by a car. We can't get our minds around this because it's so different from the culture we live in today. But this is the culture that Joseph was living in. And it was a public shaming of Mary. But what is Joseph's choice? He's a righteous man who wants to uphold the law, but it says that he did not want to expose her to public disgrace. It tells us something of Joseph's character. He didn't want to humiliate Mary, even though he must have been so hurt that he thought that she had been unfaithful to him. But he didn't want her to be shamed. So we see something in his character that he's caught in this tension. He wants to uphold the law. He feels it's not right for him to go through with the marriage, but he wants to apply the law in the way that will be most gracious and most compassionate to Mary. So we see even in these few words, there's something really special about Joseph's character. And the rest is history. The angel intervenes and says that Joseph, son of David. It's really important that. Joseph, son of David. Remember, you are the son of David. You've got a really important role to play here. Do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived of her is from the Holy Spirit. It's God that's done this. She will give birth to a son, and you are to name him. It's only the father that could name the children. You're to name him Jesus. So from one day, he's contemplating divorce. The next day, he's contemplating naming his child Savior. What a change, because God has broken in. The Christmas story in a nutshell is that Jesus is no ordinary child. Jesus is fully God. He's from a virgin birth. He's from God. His father is not Joseph. His father is God. The Christmas story is that Jesus is fully God, but Jesus is fully human. His mother is Mary. And what's the implication? The implication of the Christmas story, the take-home message, the thing we put into practice, is that God is with us. He's fully human, he's fully God, and God is with us. But what does it mean for God to be with us? If God is with us tomorrow, if God is with us these next few weeks, how will people know that God is with us? How will people know that the Christmas story is more than a story to us? It's more than an intellectual assent to the events really happening, but it's penetrated our hearts. It's penetrated our hearts and our lives. And people will see that we're different. People will see that we live out a fully human life, a life that God has said is a life of incarnation, God becoming human and living amongst us. And to make that simple this morning, I just want to focus on one word, and the one word is righteous. Let's just keep it simple. Are you a righteous person? Am I a righteous person? Do people look at my life and say, he's a righteous man? He goes to church. She goes to church. Is he a righteous person? See, these people in the Middle East who are seeking to share the good news of Jesus Christ among millions of refugees, the first point of witness will be, are they righteous people? Are they people who have got God's heart? So let's look at what this word righteousness means. It means a right sense of order, a right sense of God's rule, God's way of doing things. And I want to take you into Isaiah to help to explain this. And this is it's going to be quick, but in Isaiah chapter 11, it says that in a very dark time, that the people who tried to be righteous were not righteous. The people who tried to be just were not just. And God speaks of a judgment coming upon the nation of Israel. And it's like the oak trees have been cut down to a stump, but out of that stump comes new life. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse, David's father, King David's father. And what does it say about this person? He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes or decide by what he hears with his ears, but with righteousness he will judge the needy. With justice he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. This Messiah, this king that will come in the future, is someone who will look at the situation from God's perspective. Joseph, if he looked at it from his own perspective, would have divorced Mary. But when God spoke to him, he listened and he heard what God said and he was willing to put it into practice. And it says here that the Messiah, the coming Messiah, will be like that. The only thing that will matter to the coming Messiah is what God thinks. Jesus said, I only do what my Father commands me to do. His righteousness will be his belt and faithfulness the sash around his waist. Let's go forward to Isaiah 42. So it says in Isaiah 42 about the justice that the servant will bring in. A bruised reed he will not break. A bruised reed. You see that reed there? That reed would be used for making pens. Or maybe it would be used for making a boat or thatching a roof of a house. But a reed that is broken is useless. No one can use it. And you would normally break it and you would throw it into the fire and use it as fuel. But that is not how God thinks. God says, a bruised reed he will not break. Perhaps you're here this morning and you feel like a bruised reed. You feel like a broken person. How can God use me? God has compassion for you. God has got, he's going to come alongside you. He's going to help you. He sent his son Jesus for you and for me, even though we are broken people. A smoldering wick he will not snuff out. He had these oil lamps, and as the flame burned down the flax, it would burn at the end, and then the flame would fall onto the floor and would create a fire. And because of that, you know, they used to have buckets underneath of water to catch it. But a smoldering wick, he will not snuff out. And I think of Joseph and Mary telling her story to Joseph of how the angel had come to her. And it just seemed such an incredible story. And I think that Joseph perhaps thinks that she's been raped. He knows that she's a very devout girl, so she couldn't possibly have been unfaithful. He knows her so well. He knows that she wouldn't have been unfaithful to him, but he can't make sense of it. And he has this compassion in his heart for her. And he says, I don't understand it, but we're gonna do this privately, and there's going to be a minimum of punishment here for you. Because she's exhausted, she's stressed out. And sometimes in our life, you know, people want to shame us. People want us to get the full punishment. And then you have other people that come alongside and they act graciously. Yes, they're concerned for justice, but they're concerned that there'll be a way of escape. There'll be a way out. And the gospel is this, that God is concerned for justice. God has sent his son into the world because of our sin and our rebellion. But he had to find a way to help us. And the only way that he could help us while still upholding his justice is to send his son to die on a cross. And when Jesus died on the cross, he took the full justice of God, but also the full mercy of God. The full compassion of God for us is displayed in the cross. And that's why Jesus is called Savior. That's why Jesus is the God with us. He doesn't only come alongside us to sympathize with our weaknesses, to comfort us in our troubles. He comes and he provides forgiveness, eternal life, fellowship with God. He comes not just with a temporary relief of our symptoms, but he comes with an eternal cure. Fellowship with him. And then Jesus says to the church, just as he stood in that synagogue in Nazareth, he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me to preach good news to the poor, to set free the captives, to recovery of sight to the blind. He says, that is the mandate of the church today. That is our Christmas witness, that we go out and represent him. That we can be people like this man, Emil, who looks at what he's got and he's willing to share what he's got with others. He's willing to live his life in the community as a witness to God's righteousness, as a witness to God's compassion, as a witness to God's mercy. So I'll leave you with this thought. Are you an oak of righteousness? You may not think of yourself as a tree, but I want you to use your imagination this morning. Are you an oak of righteousness? Is your family an oak of righteousness? Is our church in our community an oak of righteousness? And if the answer is I'm not sure, then have a look at the roots. Have a look at the roots and have a look at the fruits. And the root of a Christian goes back to the Christmas story and the family of Mary and Joseph. And the roots of the Christmas story go back to the Old Testament and to the promised Messiah, who was a person of justice, a person of righteousness. So let us attend to the roots of our faith, and we will see the fruits. The fruits come from our choices. The fruits come from our priorities, which comes from our values. And if our values is to be people of justice and righteousness and concern for the broken and for the oppressed, then we will make choices this month which will make a difference in other people's lives. Let us pray. Father, we want to thank you that you are a righteous God. That as we look at the world in which we live, we know that you are not aloof, you are not remote, but you are deeply concerned for us and for it. Thank you for Joseph, who in his moment of great pressure, he chose your will. He obeyed your voice. He courageously lived his life by faith, so that his adopted son, Jesus, could grow up as a righteous man, that displayed the Father's will and delight. And he got alongside us in all our brokenness. Lord, help us to imitate Jesus this Christmas. Help us to put down deeper roots into your righteousness and justice. Water us today, water our roots by your Holy Spirit, and bring to our mind practical things we can do this week which will display your justice and your righteousness. And we thank you that you are already involved in our lives. We thank you that you already have plans for us to do. And may you empower us to be like Joseph and to follow through for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.